What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Locked On Badgers. You know it's a Tuesday night, so you know we got Rajiv coming on. We're going to talk about, we got quite a bit to talk about today. We never finished our two deep on the football side. We're going to look at our defensive players, who we think is going to be a standout there, what I think the key is to the Badgers defense this year, plus get into some basketball superlatives, midseason grades. We got a lot to go through on this show, so I appreciate everybody tuning in on Wisconsin, and let's get rolling.
You are Locked On Badgers, your daily podcast on the Wisconsin Badgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to Locked On Badgers, your team every single day. Really do appreciate everybody tuning in. Today's show is brought to you by FanDuel. This episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. That is the official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. Like I said, I appreciate everybody tuning in, everybody watching the show, everybody helping build and support the community. We got Rajiv coming on every Tuesday, man. We've made this a tradition. It's Tuesdays with Rajiv. I love it. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well. It's always fun to be on, and I look forward to Tuesdays. Talk some Badgers with you.
That's it, man. All right, so we previously did a two deep for the football on the offensive side, but we didn't get to the defensive side. So I want to start there. We're going to talk some football, and then we're going to get into some basketball superlatives. Who's our team MVP, biggest surprise, biggest disappointment, best moment, et cetera, on the basketball side. Then we'll get into your comments. But Rajiv, let's start with the two deep on the football side. I'm going to kick it to you to start. Let's go defense. But maybe we should talk about, are we doing – how did you – because we don't really know what Luke Fickell and Mike Tressel are going to completely run. So break it down how you laid out your two deep here in terms of
– I went ahead and did a 3-4, you know, two outside linebackers, two insides, three down linemen, two corners and two safeties. I did it just like that. I mean, obviously we'll get into some deeper players a little bit here and there, but I feel like that's kind of the way that, and I feel like that's a fair way to do it.
Yep. And I did the same. So let's start defensive line. Rajiv, I'm going to kick it over to you for the first batch here. Defensive line, what's your two deep there?
Yeah, so on the ends, I got Rodus Johnson and Isaiah Mullins. I know there's been some talk of whether or not Mullins can go inside. I don't really see that. I feel like he's good where he is. So I feel like those guys are starting. And my backups there are Varner and James Thompson. I think Varner is going to be he's a huge addition for us. And you know, you never know how the guy's going to really fold into the system, but I feel like his talent, his raw ability, I would love to see him potentially even starting at some point because he has that kind of skill. But yeah, so that's where I've got my defensive ends.
Yep. I have slightly different. I have Varner starting. I think if you're bringing in a transfer, you're losing Herbig, you're losing Benton, you're losing a ton of disruptive players. Everybody's going to get a fresh look on the defensive line. Varner coming in with 7.5 sacks. I believe it was 7.5 or 6.5. Either way, that would have led the team outside of Herbig next year. So he may be the best pass rusher in that front seven that the Badgers are going to have. I think he starts. I think they brought him in to start. So he's one of my starters. You had him in the two deep. So it's not like we're that far off there. I have Thompson at my other spot, who you had as a starter. And then I had Mullins and Rodus as my two backups.
So, yeah, I actually had – so we're flipped, right? I had Johnson – and Mullen starting, and then I had Varner and Thompson backing him up. That's, I mean, look, it's good to have options, right? I mean, it's not a bad situation. It's interesting. I'm interested to hear what you have at nose starting.
Yeah, really quick too on defensive end, look out for Jarvis, Mike Jarvis, the kid out of New Jersey. He came in last year's class, got pretty rave reviews right away. They said he was more physically developed than they thought. I think he has good size. I liked his film more than his ranking. So Mike Jarvis is somebody again to pay attention to there. At the nose spot, I think it's Paez and then it's Neal. I don't, to your point, I'm not sure where Mullins fits into that, if it's possible. Listen, if Mullins is a break glass in case of emergency guy, sure. Like, let's say Paez gets hurt and Neal for whatever reason isn't ready, or then maybe you go to Mullins, but I think it's Paez. I think it's Neal. And I think barring a late addition or Jamel Howard coming in, being able to be ready right away, I think that's your nose tackle rotation.
Yeah, I agree. Same thing with me. Paez and Neal. There's really, obviously, that's not what we want. That's not what I want. I really hope that's not the two deep when the season starts. But if it is, it is. And if we have Jamel Howard back there, that would be fantastic. I know that, by the way, you did a great show with John Garcia Jr. earlier today. That was really awesome. For those that didn't see that, you should definitely go check it out. He is so great to listen to. And there was a lot of talk of Jamel Howard and kind of how there's so many more schools in the mix now. There's LSU and there's a lot of SEC. Once the SEC gets involved, you never know. So that's hoping that happens, but it was a good show today.
Let's get a couple of these defensive line comments in here really quickly. Vasleep says, I'd have Varner starting as well. Logan Cowich says, what about Isaac Townsend? He kind of fell off the map, the Oregon transfer. Good size, but injured and not a lot there, I think, in terms of production last year or expectations coming into this year. Feel free to kick in, Rashid, if you have anything on any of those.
No, what I would say, I know that it's interesting. I'm glad everyone has Varner starting. I want to see that out of the transfer, but I just, you just never know. And I feel like there's still a lot of unknown with him. I'm not 100% as sold on him as you are, Ryan, but listen, if he's the starter and if he's playing well, I'm all for it.
And then Matthew Anderson Thompson was our leader at defensive end at tackles NTFLs. He's starting. I'd be shocked if Varner didn't start. So Matthew Anderson goes with a Varner Thompson. Yeah. Absolutely possible, right? Like, I feel like maybe a better way to put this is I feel like, Rajiv, you and I, and from the comments, Matthew, I think you're in on this as well. We have a top four-ish that seems
totally. Sense.
And those are all going to play.
And we, they're all going to play. They're all going to play a lot too, especially with this system. I mean, I feel like there has to be a lot of rotation on the line. So we really need it to be a four deep.
Agreed. All right, let's move linebackers. I'll start with my outside and I'll kick it to you for the inside. I don't know. At some point, a person, if he doesn't do anything for 2 years, has to be healthy, right? Like if you put a guy in a hyperbaric chamber and he just doesn't do anything for 2 years, Aaron Witt has to be healthy eventually, right? Like modern science has gotten to the point where Aaron Witt can be a healthy outside linebacker and fulfilling the promise. So I'm going to go Aaron Witt and I'm going to go Darrell Peterson. I think that's my starting outside duo. And then behind them, I have Petroisky, the Michigan State transfer, and I've got Bowlers.
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting. I really wanted to put Petroisky in the starters because I just feel like he's going to be really good. I've got Peterson and Bowlers right now. And, then obviously Petroisky backing him up. I would love to see how he does. And I thought you were going to actually put him in your starting rotation.
Yeah, I mean, listen, coming over with 5.5 sacks, missed last year with injury. But the year before we talked to the Michigan State guy, he's pretty high on him. He said he's a really good player. I think it's like the defensive ends. He's going to play. Is he going to start? Maybe, maybe not, but I don't know if it matters a lot. Maybe he's on the field for pass rushing. If I told you Aaron Witt is healthy, 100% ready to go, you'd think he's maybe starting at that point?
Yeah, maybe, but he's got to really be 100% healthy and also showing it, in practice and see how he's playing. But yeah, obviously I think we would love to see him start, but it's just there's so many question marks.
Right. And he's been like this mystery guy that every time we hear whispers from practice that he's been healthy, they're like, this guy's like Lawrence Taylor. He's wired like Julius Pepper. The hype on him for what the production has been incredible. But the other thing I'd caution is he's missed basically 2 years of strength and conditioning programs too, right? Like he hasn't been able to really get the reps. So I'm probably not accurate saying he's going to start, but maybe it's just hopeful projection.
Right. Okay, I'll go to the inside. Listen, for me, this is an easy one. Jong Mehta and Turner. I feel like those guys they've earned it. They've got their, I think that, I know a lot of people are thinking about Jake Chaney, and I absolutely think he can get in there, but he's in my two deep. And I feel like that's really one of the strengths of our defense. I talk a lot about how I like these inside linebackers and how I'm really questionable on the outside. I feel like this is where the run stopping comes from. This is where you just get a lot of beef up front. These guys have done well. Now you take their production they already have had and you put them with a better strength and conditioning coach. You put them in a new system. You put them with a defensive line coach. I mean, a guy that was a defensive end in college himself in Fickell. I just feel like there's going to be a lot of emphasis on this. And I think those guys are going to grow. I really like where they're at.
Yep, 100% agree with you. I think it's Mumah, Turner. Now, I actually expected more from Turner last year. I thought the athleticism would translate more. There'd be more like wow plays. But I do think that that's a really solid inside duo. I love Chaney. Logan Cowich says, what about Chaney as a starting linebacker? I think he's the third guy in that rotation. And then you still have Brian Sanborn coming in. He played a little bit as a true freshman. And behind them, Tyler Jancy, who I think is a really bright future coming in as a freshman. So it's a really solid group of inside linebackers. My only concern is I don't know if if you look at that entire linebacker core, and then we're going to get some of the linebacker comments here, I don't know if there's a star in that group that we can point to and say that's a star. Whereas it feels like every year for the last 6 years, we've been able to point to somebody and say that's an NFL guy. Yeah. Is there a guy here that you point to and say, I know that's a game wrecker?
No, I really don't. And I want it. What I would love for it, I would love for it to be on the outside, like someone like Petrowski. I feel like he has that ability in him. But yeah, there we don't have that right now. And, you know, we'll see how it goes.
Agreed. All right, let's go. You want to go corners or safeties next? Both of these are interesting to me.
Yeah. Let's go corner. So I'm going to do, I'll start here if that's all right. Alexander Smith and Hallman are my two starting corners. I don't love that. I think we talked about this on our last show that we did together. It's something that kind of, you know, who lines up opposite Smith is the question. And then Ashford and Jones are my backups there. But I just want to put the caveat in that how I feel about Amari Snowden and how I think he is going to play corner. Snowden is the guy that I feel like can really work his way into there quickly. It would not surprise me at all to see him actively on the field a lot next season. I think he can play right away. I hope he moves up this chart a little bit and works his way into the starting lineup. I know that you think he's more of a safety, but I really feel like what a difference he could make with that size at corner. Wow.
Yeah. Listen, you and I are in lockstep with that. If he can play corner, that's a completely game-changing difference maker in the secondary. Obviously Alexander Smith is cornerback one. He's starting. And then I went with a bit of a surprise here. I went Avion Jones as cornerback two. I've heard really good things. So I had a source tell me that along with Alexander Smith, Avion is the fastest player in the secondary among the cornerbacks. He's got good size, long arms. I see Hallman as potentially the third guy. And then I have DeCluna coming in as that fourth guy, the 6-foot cornerback. I think that's my top four right now, with maybe Jace Arnold being that slot guy. Potentially.
Yeah, I did write DeCluna down, but I didn't bring him up because I was talking about Snowden a lot. But yeah, he's kind of like that number three, basically, like the third rung. But yeah, I mean, so much talent coming in, and even the safety spot, which I haven't even got to yet. Just so exciting that we've got a lot of talent in this area, and it's something that we haven't had in a long time, and it's very nice to see.
Yep, and at safety, I'll kick this one off. I got Latu and I got Hunter Waller. I wouldn't be shocked if that wasn't the combo, because a new coaching staff is going to come in and they're going to take a fresh look at everybody, right? Like, so you can't assume anything. There's a comment up here from Bo Dragon who mentions it's hard to make claims about the playmakers when you don't know how they're going to be used. Along those lines, I agree with that comment. We don't know exactly what Tressel's going to look at. However, I'd be pretty surprised if it wasn't Hunter and Waller getting the majority of snaps at safety. And then behind them, I have Austin Brown. And I've got Snowden slotting into that other safety spot. I want to wish on him as a corner, but realistically, I think he may be more of a safety.
Where do you feel like the transfer of Maitre goes into your Maitre?
I think he's a nickel corner. I think he's a slot corner.
Okay. All right. So Latu and Waller as well. Completely agree. Bo Dragon made a comment earlier as well about, you know, like Cincinnati plays a very different style of defense, and that's true, but these are our players, and I feel like it will be a bit more of a mix. And I don't think it's going to necessarily be a straight 3-3-5, and maybe it is, and that's fine. But, you know, based on the talent that we have on the team now, it makes sense to at least start with that. And maybe we can have different, iterations of it. There's going to be changes. So I still think it's reasonable to look at the defense like this, but yeah, Latu and Waller, Blaylock, I have got in my two deep as well. I feel like, you know, he's coming back. I think that's going to be a nice one. And then Austin Brown. I also want to really mention Braden Moore here, a guy that just like Snowden, I feel like he can work his way up. Very, very like a super athletic kid. Of all those guys that we brought in, I mean, he was the one that I was really, especially between him and DeCluna Snowden. When Snowden came in, he kind of became my favorite, but really like Braden Moore. I feel like he's got a good future with us in Madison. I'd like to see him climb up that 2D.
What a fun safety group, right? I mean, and Badger and Bournemouth says in a 3-3-5, assuming we go that way, you know, three linebackers, maybe there's that extra big hybrid safety in there. That could be Braden Moore. That could be Snowden. That could be Austin Brown. That could be like a lot of pieces. That could be not Alexander Smith. I'm trying to think of the other. You mentioned him. Who the kid who's injured all of last year, who switched from corner to safety.
Blaylock.
Yeah, Blaylock. It could be Blaylock, right? So many bodies there. We have to take a quick break, and then we are going through your comments on these next, and then we're getting into basketball superlatives. Like I said, it's going to be a fun show. There's a lot of fun stuff to talk about on Locked On Badgers right now with Rajiv. But first, today's show is brought to you by our good friends over at FanDuel. The NFL playoffs are here. We've been talking about it. You know I'm a Niners fan, so you know I've been talking about it. I've been jazzed up about it. We're really excited about our new sports betting partner for Locked On, because they're the number one sports book in America. That's right. It's FanDuel. And if you're new to FanDuel, it's even better. They have so many great features that makes betting on sports fun. It makes it easy. New customers join today, get $150 in free bets guaranteed. That's $150 in free bets guaranteed as long as you make a $5 bet. Just sign up on FanDuel.com/LockedOn. FanDuel has all your favorite bets from the money line, point spreads, player props. Plus, you can even combine your bets, in-game parlays, right? And again, I've talked about the Niners this weekend, Niners plus 2.5. Let me know in the comments where you're at on that one. I'm taking the Niners plus 2.5, but y'all already know I bet with my heart. I'm also taking over 45.5 in that game. I think the two offenses are going to combine to put up a lot of points. All on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. So football fans, don't miss out. Place your first $5 bet to get $150 in free bets, win or lose, at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NFL. All right, let's keep going on the show. Appreciate everybody tuning in. This was kind of an impromptu thing, so it's awesome that y'all are joining in. Let's get Rajiv back on. And we tried to do some experimentation today with Rajiv being a mod, trying to bring comments in. We're working on it. To stream, we're trying to find a way to streamline getting your comments up easier and quicker to get through more of them. So just know that we were working on getting the community more involved, but our first test did not go successfully.
We will figure it out, and it will be great.
All right, let's get a couple of these comments here. Let's see. Stephen Ryan 20 says, do you guys see any of the freshmen starting on the defensive side?
I mean, maybe potentially. I just don't. I feel like it's so hard to tell, especially with it. It's just really hard. We've got enough depth without necessarily using them. And I just feel like if someone really shines early season spring ball and they're playing early, I feel like that would be great. But I just don't really see that happening right now. And it's really hard to predict.
It is incredibly hard to predict. But I want to piggyback that with Slim Lewis that says on elite teams, true freshman frequently starts. Snowden is legit. I would say if a freshman is going to start, it's going to be in the secondary. Mm-hmm. Like it's going to be in the secondary, and it's going to be one of DeKluna, Snowden, or Moore. Right?
Like, yep.
One of those three. If we're saying a freshman's going to start, it's going to be one of those three.
Yeah, my first guess on that would be Snowden. Mm-hmm. I think he's the guy that I feel like if I had to say one of them, I'd pick him. But yeah, you're absolutely right. It's definitely coming in the secondary, and you never know. I mean, as we mentioned, we could be using a lot more secondary players just in the starting rotation and more, you know, use overall. So it's going to encourage him to play some younger people as well.
For sure. Or sleeper pick, Jace Arnold, the slot corner, who is incredible.
You love Jace Arnold.
I love Jace Arnold. Zach Bart says, Darryl Peterson breakout season. Certainly possible.
Yeah. I mean, he's someone who I feel like he's due for it, and it, His skill set, his frame, everything matches up and suits a player that would have a breakout season, but remains to be seen.
Kick this to you. Matthew Anderson says CJ Getz could certainly start.
So he originally, when I wrote my two deep down, I put him in there and I could hear Ryan, you know, coming in being like, no, not a good idea. So I actually moved Bowlers into my starting lineup and put Getz at number two. But I agree, Matthew. I do think he could start. He's not my favorite. He's not Ryan's favorite, I don't think. But, you know, I guess we'll find out. I did have him written down, though, and I should have maybe stuck with it.
Yeah, listen, I probably should have had him in the two deep, if I'm being honest. And I want to be super clear on Getz. When I say, like, I like the upside of other players more, but I'm really happy he's back. Like, there's some Badger fans that are kind of in the mold of, we need to go younger. We need to get the upside. Like, this dude started for Bobby April and Jim Leonard for a reason. Like, he's not a bad player. So
right.
I think we should be happy he's back, but I don't see him starting. A couple more questions in here or comments, at least, from the defensive 2-deep. Slim Lewis says, Najee Mehta with a much improved strength coach will look like an NFL player. And then Isaac Vase, who gets kind of the opposite of this, says, I guess I'm alone in thinking Muma is a liability in coverage. Actually, Isaac, you're not alone in that. I think he is too. I think he's more of a run-stopping linebacker.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think in this system, let's say we do kind of go to that 3-3-5 system, he'll have a little bit less responsibility in that regard. And I feel like that would suit him better. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think he's more of that, like, you know, like that true inside linebacker that's the run stopper that's really playing that central role that we've had for many years in our system. But yeah, I think it is. If he has to do it a lot, we'll run into problems.
Isaac Zay says, is Waller really a safety? He's got that Jabril Peppers energy where he has a neat, unique position. Michigan obviously used Peppers as kind of that that rover, you know, that kind of attacking extra linebacker in the box. Well, it could be that in this defense. Again, we don't really know how they're going to use the weapons, Trestle, how they're going to use them. But what do you think of maybe Woller being the move safety that they're trying to get into advantageous situations?
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. He has all the tools for that. He certainly could be someone like a Peppers kind of a player. I think this is a good call out from Isaac. I think he's one of our best players on the defense right now. He's someone who we are really happy when he came back this year. I feel like he's got a lot of skill. He really can be used all over that situation. And I think it will be very situational as things come up, as certain who, based on what teams we're playing. If we're playing a team like Iowa, he might have a different role than we're playing, you know, Wazoo or Michigan or whatever. So I think he has that ability. He can do this, but only in certain situations.
Yeah, I think that's really well said. We're going to take a very, very quick break, come back with basketball superlatives. But first, a quick break for our friends of the show. All right, coming back into the show here again. Appreciate everybody for tuning in. Love it when Rajiv is here at Tuesdays with Rajiv. I got to come up with a better name for that, man. I was trying to think of my brain isn't working. I will come up with something.
We should solicit some ideas from the people commenting.
Yeah, if anyone has ideas, what we could call Tuesday. Rajiv has been known as the optimist. I was trying to do some kind of play on that, but I've got nothing so far.
I'm also an optimist.
So
we are going to win the Big Ten next year. Wow. Let's just make that clear.
I love it. I love Rajiv's energy, man. All right, Rajiv, let's do basketball superlatives. We're roughly in the midpoint of the year. I mean, give or take a couple games. I want to start here. I'm going to kick it to you to kick this off. Team MVP up to this point. I think this one's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I got to go with Steven Crowell. I feel like, especially in the absence of Tyler Wall for a few games, of course, we didn't win those games, but he's done a really, really believe with Rajiv. Very nice, Bo.
I think that's great, Bo.
He's averaging 12.7 points a game. What's interesting is he and Hepburn, I was looking up the stats today just for the season before we started, they are on the exact same number of points.
I know.
They're scoring 12.7 points a game, which is interesting. I also think that the way Crowell has evolved his game this season, you know, we talked early on about how he didn't have some of those post moves, but he's doing really well. He's playing strong. He's putting the team on his back in a lot of situations. I see Hepburn trying to put the team on his back a lot, but I don't necessarily see him being as successful. I love his energy. I love what he does, but there's some issues there. Crowell, I feel like, does put the team on his back and he does a pretty good job of it. So he's my MVP. I think a lot of people might say Tyler Wall here, but I just feel like because when Wall was out, Crowell really stepped up and he's grown a lot as the season's progressed.
Yeah, I think it's a good point. Crowell has really in the last 6 or 7 games shown us the best of what he could be. Minus there was one kind of outlier, maybe the Indiana game it was, but he's played really well recently. He's definitely gotten better. To me, it's Hepburn. It's Hepburn because he leads the team in minutes played. He's played every game. As you mentioned, 12.7 points per game, shooting 71% from the free throw line. So he's actually one of the better shooters there on a team bereft of good free throw shooters. 46% from three. And I think he's just asked to do so much more than Crowell. Like he's asked defensively to almost always guard the other team's lead point guard, especially in clutch moments. He's asked to initiate the offense. He's asked to deal with pressure. He's asked to, whether it's fair or not, I think we get on Hepburn a lot for some of the shots, and some of that's completely fair. Some of it's also what the coaches are asking him to do, right? They're putting him in situations that I think are a little difficult. So I think Hepburn is my MVP. Crowell would be my two. I would have gone with Wall if he hadn't gotten hurt. And then the last couple of games, it feels like Wall is still like 80%. He does not look 100% to me.
It's a good comment that Badger and Bournemouth fan put up there. Haven't won without Wall. That's a good point. And you can make the argument that he's the MVP because of that. But I also feel like Wall hasn't really played up to his potential this year. I expected him to be doing a bit more and scoring at a bit higher percentage, especially from inside of 3 feet. But he's still been, obviously, he's a very important player to us, and we haven't won without him. But I think I'm a little bit jaded by the fact that he hasn't played as well as I expected him to play, which is why I didn't factor him into this MVP.
I think it's fair. All right, let's go with next up on this. I think I have best moment of the season up to this point.
Well, you want to take this one first?
Yeah, I think it's the Iowa game for me. I think it's the Iowa game. Listen, first of all, I dislike Iowa a lot. I dislike their clown coach and his entire – I shouldn't say that. Maybe that's being – I don't like to be petty on this show. I dislike their coach. I dislike his demeanor. I dislike that family. Winning in overtime Tyler Wahl had a great game. He's 9 of 14. Crowell had 7 assists. 78-75, one of the higher scoring Badger games. That's my favorite moment of this year if I'm looking at the totality of it. I almost went Kansas just because we took one of the best teams in the country to the wire and quite frankly should have freaking beat them twice. But it's still a loss, and I can't in good conscience put a loss as my best moment. So I'm going beat Iowa, beat the conference rival, overtime, high-scoring game, great game from Wahl. That's my best moment.
It's funny. I also thought about the Kansas game because I was like, wow, I mean, you know, that was really – because, you know, we talked about how a win and a loss can be really close together, and one rebound, we beat Kansas, and we would have said that was our number one moment. So I did think about that. I ended up going with Marquette. Look, I just feel like they're one of our biggest basketball rivals. I cannot stand them. I love to beat them. And it was an overtime game. Hepburn shot 5 of 6 from 3 that game. Yeah. 7 of 10 from the field, 19 points. We had 3 guys score 13 points or more. Well, 4 score 12. That was just a big win for us. And, you know, especially when it's on the road, I love doing that. It's a way to kind of kick off the Big Ten season and get us going. I always kind of use it as a measuring stick of how good Wisconsin is how we do against Marquette. And of course, per usual, it was a close win, which we've had a lot of this year, and we've had a lot of close losses. But that was my biggest moment, is beating Marquette in overtime.
Yeah, that's definitely a good one. How about your worst moment of the season so far?
That's the Indiana game. Wow. We just got blown off the floor, man. We had no starters in double figures. Indiana was just crushing us. And they truly made us look like a basement Big Ten team. And that was one of those moments where I was like, wow, like this just isn't good. And obviously Wahl was hurt and that played a big part, but that was a really low moment for me.
Yeah, I actually didn't go Indiana. I didn't go Indiana for a couple of reasons. I thought about it, but in our chat offline, y'all know that I didn't watch most of that game. I was traveling. I was coaching my kids' basketball game. I just couldn't see that game. So I frankly didn't have to live through it. I was kind of living through it through you.
You're lucky.
So I didn't really have to see it. And I record every game, but you guys were texting and I could see how terrible it was. And I was just like, I'm not going to go back and watch that. And the other reason is Wahl was hurt. And I've kind of got into the season with an understanding if Tyler Wall's hurt, if Hepburn's hurt, or if Crowell's hurt, we're probably going to lose no matter what. The Northwestern game, to me, we have Wahl. That's a game you have to win. And the last minute and a half of that game, I felt like the last 2 minutes of that game offensively, we should have won that game. Like we absolutely should have won that game, and it would have kicked off this tough stretch with a win. And instead, we just went in this ridiculous offensive shell, even calling timeouts. We weren't getting anything going, forcing up shots. I thought we gave it away. It was incredibly frustrating. And that was – Klezmann obviously wasn't playing, but that was a healthier version of the team that played than the one that played against Indiana. And I felt we gave that game away. So I think Indiana, if I had watched the game, I'd probably be right there with you. But I actually – that's the one game this year I haven't seen.
That's a really good call. I mean, I feel like it was very disappointing the way we ended that game. Very, very disappointing. I know that you and Justin talked about that, and you know, it's a good call. I feel like I feel you a little bit, but boy, that Indiana game—if you watched it, it was rough.
Yeah, it looked it.
All right, it's interesting. I'm sorry. One quick thing. You know, Klezmann was obviously gone for this game. It's interesting. So we 4 games, no one, losing one starter, not having a starter in there. We've talked about lack of depth, and this is. One starter not being in there, we haven't won.
It's like so. We can't win, right? Unless you are perfectly healthy, this team can't beat even mediocre Big Ten teams, which maybe shouldn't be a surprise, right? Because we kind of are a mediocre Big Ten team with no depth. Rajiv, biggest surprise this year?
Connor Essejian.
I have a good and a bad one, so I'm curious if you just have one or two.
Yeah, Connor Essejian, definitely. I mean, this guy has just been – I feel like some Badger fans don't find this a big surprise because they expected this from him, namely Justin, but I did not expect it. And I think it's the quick release and how confident he is to shoot and how he is, that man is never afraid to take a shot. And if he's anywhere on the perimeter and he's even remotely open, he's firing it. And I absolutely love it. So yeah, he's been such a big surprise. And boy, can you imagine where we would be if Connor Essejian wasn't on this team?
Or let's even take it a step further. What if Connor Essejian was just a typical freshman, right, that needed 2 years or that needed a year? This team would be in a world of hurt. We would have another loss or two on the slate for sure. I agree with you. My good surprise this year is Connor. I think we talked about it before the season. It's funny, the three of us, me, you, and Justin talked about this, and Justin was like the high man on him. Mm-hmm. I was like the medium man, and you were kind of the lower man, only in terms of freshman expectations, right? So I expected a good year from him. I thought his skills would translate, but I didn't think he would be this good that guard would have to play him this much. So he is definitely a surprise to me. My bad surprise is I didn't think our depth would be great. I thought it would be better than this. I thought Kamari McGee would be able to play 10 minutes a game. I thought Ilver would be able to play 5 to 10 consistent minutes. I thought the depth would be better, and it stinks that it's not, but it's not there.
Yeah, I hear you. I have that in one of the other superlatives, but yeah, I mean, depth has been a massive issue for us, and you're right. I think it is. It's fair to say it's a surprise that it's as poor as it really is. And I would say specifically, you know, obviously Neath got hurt, but I think for me that McGee is someone who has surprised me, as someone who I really, really felt like he was going to get into this rotation, help Hepburn out at the one, and really, you know, be able to provide a different speed to the game, and his ability to, with how quick he is, you'd think he'd be able to get to the hoop, but that just hasn't been there.
No, I agree. It's surprising to me as well. Jeffrey K says, just renewed our family season tickets, football tickets since 1984. Off topic. Sorry. No, Jeffrey, man, bring all the football hype in here. Football hype is never off topic in this show. Let's be super clear, Chief.
Locked on Badgers clearly loves football. So Jay Daly, I see your comment. He clearly saw the shirt I was wearing. Come on, you Spurs.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't even have got that.
It's fine. It's all good. He knows what I'm talking about.
Let's see. Badger Bournemouth, as was stated before, there is no depth because of guard himself. We're going to do a whole guard show. We have to do a whole guard show because I think I dance around it. I got to schedule it.
There's a lot to talk about there. And I know it kind of divides the fan base, and by no means, and I'll just say this, that by no means is it like Paul Chris for me at all, but there is a lot to talk about. And there's a lot to talk about from the last like 5-7 years and kind of how the program has been progressing. So yeah, it'll be a great show, and we'll have to schedule that and get all these guys back in.
We'll get the quad pod on.
Yeah.
It's going to be a fascinating discussion. Guy brings up a comment. I still think the loss of Moores and Carlson hurt a lot. You know, the interesting thing, Rajiv, for me, because people will talk about, and Guy, thank you for the comment, by the way, and for everyone for the comments. People will talk about Moores, Carlson, and Lauren Bowman as the other one, right, as being the guys who should have been the depth this year. You know, Carlson's averaging 4 points and 4 rebounds in 18 minutes for Utah. Like, I don't think he's the answer. You know, Lauren Bowman, even in his minutes at Wisconsin, I thought was kind of inconsistent, not really the answer. Jacoby Neath, the same thing. People say that. Jacoby Neath has had 3 years of Division I basketball where he's been a subpar player. I don't think these guys are the answer. Do they help? Yeah, because there's nothing else on the bench. But at the end of the day, none of them come in and put a scare into Michigan State, in my opinion. I mean, that's my opinion, but
I totally agree. I mean, you know, Carlson, you're right. He wasn't going to be that guy. He was never going to, he would be like the guys that we have on our bench right now. He would be kind of like a Gilmore type of production level. And I think it's not good enough. We know that if we're going to compete, especially in the tournament, we have to have more depth, and this is a big problem. And it's going to be the reset recruits next year. Obviously there's a lot of potential there. So hopefully that can help build that depth. But yeah, we see it. We don't have a starter. We haven't won.
And this is still a young team. Like Rajiv is talking about the depth from next year. Like Connor Seajan is going to be a sophomore next year, right? Chucky Hepburn is going to be a junior. Like Stephen Crowell will still be here. There's a lot of depth on this team. There are a lot of players on this team that still have development inside them. And then you add in that really good recruiting class coming in. Maybe you got to hit the portal. But if those things kind of come together, Rajiv, this could be a one-year anomaly, which again is probably going to get into our great guard discussion. But I'm not ready to say this is the beginning of a trend line, but it is a concerning year, I think, is kind of where I'm at.
Totally agree with you on that. Yep, absolutely.
All right. I think, listen, we're at about 35 minutes, second live show today. Really do appreciate y'all. Rajiv, let me know if there's any other comment you want to throw in there that you see.
Well, I will just say, biggest disappointment was, for me, depth. Did you have a biggest disappointment?
Oh, it was – I didn't do biggest disappointment. I did biggest worst surprise, which was depth. Yeah, so I guess we're – maybe I skipped over that, but I kind of shoehorned that into bad disappointment.
Yeah. Okay.
So I think we're on the same page there.
Excellent.
All right. Appreciate everybody for tuning in. A bunch more coming up this week. Still got a couple big interviews coming up that I'm hoping to get scheduled this week. My week's gotten a little hectic randomly, but do appreciate everybody tuning in. Appreciate Rajiv. I like the believe with Rajiv from Bo Dragon. That might be the name of our Tuesdays.
Bo Dragon always has comments in here. He's one of our loyal supporters. Yep. And sometimes he disagrees with us, but we love that.
Yep, I agree. All right, y'all. On Wisconsin, we're going to talk again tomorrow. Rajiv, thank you as always, my friend.
Thank you.